This is Marketplace Tech for Thursday, June 1st. I'm Adrienne Hill in for Ben Johnson. There's another malware attack, this time involving Android devices and games users downloaded from the Google Play Store. The infected apps feature a character called Judy. According to security researchers at Checkpoint, which identify the software, the Judy malware, as it's called, could be on more than 36 million Android devices. It basically uses the devices it's infected to create fake clicks on ads without the user knowing. We wondered about the different types of malware out there and how the creators of malware profit. Matthew Green is a professor at Johns Hopkins Information Security Institute. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you.
So how do malware creators make money today? What are the different business models out there?
Well, it's kind of a growing list. Some of the different ways include things like ransomware, which is where you encrypt all the files on a computer. Another way you can do this is you can have somebody's computer click on ads that belong to you to earn you money. And still a third way is to mine cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin. So there are lots of different things you can do.
Have these models changed over time? Are malware creators sort of moving in different directions now?
Yeah, there has always been kind of a creative effort in terms of how you find different ways to make money from this process. In the olden days, and still today, there was mostly a focus on stealing people's information, like your bank account number and so on. And these other techniques, which are very lucrative, kind of evolved along the way.
Has the value of stealing our personal data declined at all, or why are we seeing less of that?
Well, I mean, there is a lot of personal data out there. It's not that the data is dramatically less valuable. It's just that there are other and more lucrative things you can do right off the bat without having to deal with all the problems of selling credit card numbers and so on.
Where could malware creators go next? Is there sort of a lucrative future venture for them?
I hate to speculate about this, but the thing I'm really worried about is blackmail. I think that the thing we should be worried about is a lot of us have sensitive information on our phones and on our computers. And nobody's really figured out a way to threaten us with that, but, you know, somebody could.
Do you think that's where things might be headed?
I would be shocked if somebody doesn't try it.
What's that mean we should be doing?
Well, unfortunately, the only way to really avoid these kinds of attacks is to not get your phone or your computer infected in the first place. The best way to do that is to make sure you have a recent device, to make sure you install security patches and updates as soon as possible. And, you know, finally, don't install weird stuff. Don't install strange apps. And, you know, try to avoid downloading programs that people sent you or even weird documents that look sketchy.
Matthew Green is a professor at Johns Hopkins Information Security Institute. Thanks so much.
Well, thank you for having me.
Hi, it's Ben Brock Johnson. Marketplace is here because these days it's essential to have an independent source explaining how the economy really works, not just for CEOs, but for everyone. Your support keeps this kind of reporting coming, and it's especially vital now at the end of our fiscal year. Visit marketplace.org/donate to contribute and to keep us in your world every day. And thanks.
The navigation app Waze, owned by Google, wants to turn car-centric Los Angeles into a carpooling town. Waze Carpool is launching throughout California next week, trying to connect commuters with drivers headed in the same direction and vice versa. Josh Fried is the head of Waze Carpool. I asked him if money changes hands with the app.
Yes. So riders pay up to about 54 cents a mile, which is the IRS limit on reimbursement for driving expenses. And drivers collect that full gas money or reimbursement through the app. It's all done automatically.
So do you guys get a kickback, or where's the business model here?
Right. Not yet. So in Israel, where we've been testing, we've played with a 15% commission. In the Bay Area, we're not charging a commission, and we'll continue to not charge a commission until we feel that the quality of service is very high.
What's in this for Waze?
So our mission is to save everybody 5 minutes every day. And we've kind of hit, in some places, a roadblock, if you will. And we think that taking cars off the road will enable us to save people a lot more time. And ultimately, Waze makes money through advertising. So the more people that are using Waze to drive, they'll see our ads when they're stopped or pins on our maps. And then this also opens up Waze potentially to advertisements shown to riders or people that don't even have a car, right? So you can think about it as sort of expanding the Waze universe and giving our advertisers the opportunity to get in front of more people ultimately.
There have been carpool services in cities around the country and even cities themselves who've tried out matching riders and drivers. Why do you think this might succeed where other carpool matching services have failed?
When you're creating a marketplace or a platform that's two-sided, you need to fill both sides. Most companies that have tried to do this from scratch are starting at zero.
Right.
But Waze is starting with about 80 million monthly active users around the world. So we have the drivers. We have essentially the supply. We just need to create the demand for carpool by asking riders to think about Waze for their commutes.
Why would I do this? Like, why would I give up my quiet time in the morning, which is a rare part of my day, to invite somebody, a stranger, into my car?
Yeah, there's a few reasons. So the carpool lane provides a lot of time savings. And number two, earning gas money is a pretty big deal for some people. So you won't make a profit using Waze Carpool, but you can absolutely pay for your gas. And then meeting new people and networking. We've seen a lot of people using this time to carpool with someone potentially at an employer where they're looking for maybe work at some point. Or, meeting new friends. I talked to a couple in San Francisco that are dating now and met using Waze Carpool.
I was actually wondering about the dating potential of something like this.
Yeah, it's possible. We're not advertising that fact, but you do get to see someone and vet them before you ride with them. So it's a possibility.
Josh Fried is the head of Waze Carpool. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Over on the gaming platform Twitch, an engineer has reportedly put down $50,000 to create a cooperative multiplayer game playing the stock market. It's called Stock Stream. Viewers participate by writing sell or buy next to the name of the stock they want to see traded. Every 5 minutes, the game buys or sells according to the whims of the crowd. I checked in around lunchtime yesterday when participants bought Domino's Pizza, DPZ, PepsiCo, PEP, and were rallying for Cake Next. That's the Cheesecake Factory. As silly as it seems, at market close yesterday, the value of the account was up, if just a touch, over the $50,000 starting point. I'm Adrienne Hill, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.